It is my joy to introduce my new friend Mandy Mars to you. And as I shared with you before the break, I saw a video of Mandy's just recently, connected with her and her amazing husband, Oliver. And I was just so struck by Mandy's presence and energetic transmission of love. And I wanted to include her today and have a conversation about how we can harness the force of love for healing and releasing all those places that we are stuck. And so it's a joy and an honor to introduce you to someone who is such an extraordinary presence of love in our world. Mandy Mars is the founder of Authentic Living, a personal development company with over 1.8 million students from 60 countries. She trains therapists and coaches in her unique methodology for quickly reprogramming the mind, emotions, and energy for joy, abundance, and happiness. Mandy is also the author of the number one best-selling book, The 8 Secrets to Powerful Manifesting. And it has just been released and it is sending ripples around the world. And with that, I would love to invite you to join with me and to give it up for Mandy Mars. Thank you so much, Mandy. It's so wonderful to be with you too. And I'm so grateful for you jumping in and joining us at the Women Rising Conference.
Thank you for having me. I'm so, so excited.
Ah, well, so we've been having such a rich time today, such a rich conversation, and I'll share with you, this is something I've been sharing with all the speakers all day long, and that is, we surveyed over 1,600 of the women who are here today before the conference, and we've never been more exhausted and burnt out and tired and overextended and going through life transitions, and at the same time, feeling like there's something more. We're called to rise, that we're needed, that our gifts are needed, our talents are needed at this time. I'm just wondering if you can share, what do you see as the big opportunity or possibility for women in the time that we're in?
It's such, truly, truly so, such an interesting time. And one of the biggest pieces that I've noticed as I've walked through this process too, where I'm seeing where the world is at, I'm called to do as much as I possibly can. But then all of a sudden that paralysis hits of how do I make a difference? Will it be big enough? And what am I called to do? How do I consistently do it without burning myself out? I noticed this back when, back in 2020, I don't know if you remember in the summer where trafficking got a ton of finally conversation and talk, and it debilitated me. And I realized in that moment where I was supposed to sit with where the world goes, and that was being a love being and serving the people who are out there on the front lines, serving the world in a different way. And so something I think we all have to remember is, one, of course, harnessing this incredible creative energy we all have inside of us and not underestimating what that can do for the planet, but also knowing that we're all our perfect puzzle piece in existence. And instead of trying to compare to, is this big enough? Or is this like this person's? Or does it look right? We honor exactly where we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to serve the world from our heart instead of the perceptions of our mind, because I think that we get so stuck in our minds sometimes and perceiving all the answers are here and we can't process anything or truly step into the embodiment of the incredible women that we are and serving the world if we're not remembering that incredible, as you always say, that feminine power and the heart leading the way. It's not that the heart is weak or vulnerable or going to lead us wrong. It's the only way out of this mess that we're in on a global level.
Well, so I love that idea. And I feel like that's an impulse that so many of us have in wanting to harness the power of our empathy. What does that look like in practice in terms of in a practical way, the horrors of the world today, from climate change to income and wealth inequality to so many of the issues where of transforming systemic racism and white supremacy, of the war that's happening. There's so many things that feel really overwhelming. Like, in practical terms, How is connecting to love the solution?
Well, two things, I suppose. One would be that I invite everyone who is listening to this. This is something that I have done. I lived a completely different life versus the one that I'm so blessed to sit here today and actually serve the world, because I needed to serve myself first. So we always have to take care of ourselves. But I would wake up every morning and say, what does the world need of me today that I can readily and easily give? And the answer was different every time. And sometimes it was huge, and sometimes it was seemingly small, but I would do it. And it would lead me to these greater opportunities to be everything that I needed to be for the world. So on that very practical level, it is, what am I truly capable of? What am I telling myself I'm not? So breaking those rules, because most often we're always living in false boxes and we have to break through those rule boxes. But what is it that I truly need to step into? And something that I saw when I was, speaking of love, when I was working on psychosomatic illnesses clinically, when the presence of love existed in these healing methodologies and helping people release the traumas, or as we talk about everything that's going on in the world and we get so paralyzed by the pain of it because we are empathic and we can feel what people are going through, but then we can't take action. Love is the lubricant of light. And so someone could know every travesty that's happening in the world, but it debilitates them. But when there is a presence of unconditional love, similar to what I would see clinically, the subconscious mind would just relax and the information could come through. And truly so, people could heal. And that was on a singular level, but it takes one person in full light to illuminate the world. So if we focus on our blockages and use love to heal those components of us, we can shine for the whole world, and that ripple effect just goes outwardly and outwardly in ways we may never even understand or be able to equate to us, but the world is forever changed.
Mm. Well, so much in that I want to unpack. And firstly, I want to find out more about the work that you did, because I was just hearing from Oliver about how the work that you were doing was healing trauma like exponentially from the other modalities, and how you said like what was really present is you were adding a like using love as an energetic force for healing in that process. And what I hear you share about like why love is the answer is that these horrible things in our world, like we're kind of fragmenting inside of ourselves mm-hmm. in response to them. Right? Or the challenges or struggles in our lives were kind of, you know, our circuitry, our, you know, Dr. Sue Mortar this morning was sharing about this beautiful field of flowing energy. And she was kind of showing a chart of what it looks like when you're not. So we're kind of, you know, we're kind of like Quasimodo, you know, here with the stresses of like we're buckling under modern life. And we don't have the energy, we don't have the power to respond. And so what I hear you saying is, you know, why love is the solution first and foremost, is that by tapping into and tuning in with a field of love, that we reconnect with the full spectrum of our capacities. Like love is the meta switch that, you know, that rewires all of our circuitry, all of our creativity, all of our visioning, all of our capacities are activated and come online, like with that jump start of love.
Yes, very much so. And how long has been fighting fire with fire worked? It never has. So there is, of course, as we're evolving and we're expanding further out into our own understanding of what this human existence really is, I don't know. I always say like, maybe love frequency isn't the end all be all for humanity, but it is the next step we need to get to.
I love that. I mean, love, I do. So I love it, you know, right? So because it's like, there's a way we could think, oh, you know, well, that's nice. That's a nice idea. But you're talking about love as a skill.
Yes, completely right? Different.
Talking about love as a skill, and the skillful use of love for our own healing and activation, and also in our presence, right? Because the people that we are called to serve and the things that we need to do, like they're all fragmented and disconnected too. And they need that switch turned on for them and to be able to plug into and tap into a source of energy.
Yeah.
In this way.
Absolutely. And going back to trauma, how hard is it to bare your heart and talk about your traumas or talk about your fears, and you feel this cold energy meeting you? Of course, you're not going to let the walls down and allow the healing to occur, because love has to be present for that, to feel comforted or feel that there is compassion on a frequency level, on a vibrational level, when that's coming to you, what it does for the ability to just release and finally feel heard and understood and unbroken, it's so beautiful and incredible, from a trauma base to just being able to absorb information. Like I said, light being that beautiful thing that we all want. We want more information. But how often, I know this happened to me, and I remember you talking about this in one of your speeches years ago, you had all of the information, you had all the degrees, but it's like, if it just sits here, but it doesn't go here into that loving space, into that heart space, you don't have the embodiment of the frequency in which you seek. So of course we can't get there. We have to either learn from someone who has that embodiment, and then of course, you know, pull it inwards. But if we're just sitting there, you know, heady, trying to bear all of our stuff, well, that's why it takes 15 to 30 years to work through a trauma, because we're not attacking it at the root.
Wow. I want to just underscore this, what you just said. Right? It's like, without that container and space for love, this is where the disconnections and the fragmentations from our trauma. So the problem is not the trauma, right? Life is in some ways traumatic. The problem is the absence of the energetic space in which to recalibrate on the other side of the trauma.
Yes.
Right? And yes. And love is such a central part of that. So how do we do it, Mandy?
So a trauma in and of itself, I love this, if I can jump on this for a sec with
you.
Trauma in and of itself, you're so right what you said there. It is not the actual trauma that causes the issue. And I always say, let's not think about the trauma, because sometimes we'll get lost in it, or some people can't access the amount of trauma they've experienced. But let's work on the belief that surrounds it. And so taking a trauma, let's say, you know, trigger warning, traumas that I experienced when I was younger, sexual assault, let's say, felt so dark and so confusing. And I actually spoke about this with one of your speakers, Lisa Agar. So someone may have already heard this story, but a few months ago, I had a miscarriage and we lost our daughter, and it was, you know, a difficult time. But with the tools of love and understanding, that transmutation of something that's so dense and seemingly so grieving and painful and a trauma, within just a few weeks was elevated into this beautiful orchestration of love on a really high vibration, where I could see this was nothing but love, not because it was just love, but because with the presence of love, as I processed the trauma, it turned back into what it could truly be, instead of me seeing it through my human eyes of pain. And, you know, I think that's always so true, that we think about our traumas from the past, but that was when love wasn't present. So we can pour love into those experiences and those beliefs that happened. And we can also transmute them in the now as we re-experience, get re-triggered, or even experience new traumas. And life is felt so differently from that space. When love frequency is always with you, man, life is not so difficult after all.
Wow. Well, I'm so sorry for your loss and for the losses of those posting in the chat. I know that, there's a lot of women in our community who are empathizing and have experienced this, and for all of the other traumas that we've been in. So how can we start to tap into and use love as a force to heal and to recalibrate?
The one that I really wanted to share with your audience, it's logical and it's simplistic, but it creates a great shift, is your perception first, because I know, and especially with your community, they already get it. They understand love, but sometimes people are like, love? Really? Because they have a definition that is untrue, or love has been self-sacrifice for us women, or manipulation, or giving all of ourselves in ways that are inauthentic, people-pleasing, all that. That is not the definition of love. And that is very humanistic as well. And so I would say, anytime that you find yourself in this space of, I feel a lack of love, it is, am I living my human story? And I'm seeing through my human eyes, which may in times, unfortunately, had the perception that love was lacking or that love didn't exist. But how can I move into my soul story, which is love is all there is, and all things can be created and healed and understood with love, and making that gap a little bit, you know, smaller. So breaking the rules on, who do I think I have to be to receive, not love, unconditional love, very different frequency. Who do I think I have to be And most often there are going to be a lot of rules that you'll need to break, because I thought I had to be perfect. I had to be a fantastic mother. And those rules in and of themselves was 100% or nothing, which was impossible. So I ran myself in circles thinking I'm unworthy of love of any form, let alone unconditional, because I'm not meeting my unconscious rules around who I perceived I had to be, or what, more importantly, I had to do. But unconditional love is available to everyone in every moment, if you break the rules around who you think you have to be or what you have to do to get there.
Well, so I love that. Who do you have to be worthy of receiving unconditional love? You know, when I was shifting some of my core relationship patterns using our feminine power practices, I was working with like looking at all of those places. I realized I had so many stories about who I needed to be worthy of receiving love. And can I share my power statement? Because this was really one of the things that, you know, what I got was like, what's the deeper truth, or what's the new story? And that is just that my very existence is more than enough to be worthy of receiving great love. There's nothing that I could possibly do or achieve or accomplish that would have me be any more worthy or deserving or receiving love just that I exist.
Yes. I love that so much, because it's truth. And that's why I think it resonates. And you know, people feel that, and they can feel it in their hearts, or they cry when they hear people say that, because they know it. It's truth.
Mandy, your camera's gone a little blurry. That happens on my Brio too. I think now it reset. It reset.
Are we good?
It's good. You moved. It reset.
Well, good luck, because my technology skills.
We want to see your radiant, loving face. Oh, sorry.
Okay, good. So we're good still.
Yeah, we're okay, good. Cool. Well, yeah, right. So, and what is it to walk through the world like that? There's nothing I need to do or accomplish or give or achieve that would have me be any more worthy of receiving unconditional love, receiving all the goodness of life than right now in this moment.
It's like the chicken or the egg, right? Which one comes first? And so when I started releasing, and I had so much programming around who I perceived I had to be worthy of love, to be successful, you name it. I had every silly, crazy rule. And I was very self-flagellating. So the first thing I would do, and I see so many women do this, we are looking for ways to take love away from ourselves in every moment. And I had to sit there with myself and say, most often I'm telling myself why I can't have it. And then I would take love away from me. But now in this space of walking in love, it's really incredible. Excuse me. It's really incredible to see how the world reacts when you walk around in that vibration. Sometimes it triggers some people. Most often though, there's a gravitation of people towards you, the ones that are in resonance with it, whether it is because they seek that and they know it and they can feel it and they resonate with it, or they're already there. And so in that space, I've been able to create, I mean, sitting here right now talking to you, the most incredible friendships, the most incredible support systems. I had very toxic female relationships years and years ago, and walking in this space of, I love myself, and it's not me first, but it's me too. And that incredible energy that has just duplicated over and over again in my life, the people I have, the things I'm surrounded by, the abundance that I know I am okay with receiving, that I am worthy of, if it's in the highest good of all. If anyone knew my walk of life 15 years ago compared to where I am today, it is astonishing what it's like when you can step back into love in each moment.
So shifting our a sense of our value, right? So we're talking about how do we harness, because again, I really love you're talking about love as a very specific thing. You're talking about the skillful use of love in a way that it can become a source of energy and healing and magnetism and power inside of you. And you can be a space where you are a presence that generates that kind of healing and calls forth wholeness in other people. Right? We know those people in our life, they kind of trigger the worst in us. What about those people who call forth the best in us, who call forth the wholeness in that? This is who we want to be. We want to be that person. So what I hear you say is the number one thing is shifting the story about who we need to be worthy of receiving receiving complete unconditional love of life.
Yeah. And breaking or rewriting the definition of what love even means. Because again, it's not giving all of yourself in every moment or that you go last. It's my birthright. It's what I am. When people ask me, how do you get to that space? I'm like, you don't really get there. You just unbecome everything that you're not. So you remember who you really are, which naturally sits in that space.
So that's a powerful question. I want to ask, if I may, ask everybody listening here, what's been your old story of who you need to be worthy of being unconditionally loved, to be worthy of receiving prosperity that creates well-being? You know, the word wealth comes from the old English word of well-being. You know, to create the resources that you need to thrive, to be able to receive all manner of support. What's been your old story up until now about who you need to be worthy and deserving of all of the goodness of life, of all of the goodness of others? And want to invite you to post, like, what is that new story? What is the new story of who, you know, what's your new story, Mandy? Or what was it that shifted?
Yes. So it's, again, kind of like I said, I had sat in this space and place of I am unworthy unless I am thin enough, I am pretty enough, I am successful enough. Just everything that I was not, or everything I could never be. There was never an enoughness. And it was me redefining that. But I do want to say, it wasn't me saying, oh, well, now that this definition, okay, I see, this is who I perceive I need to be to receive unconditional love. Now I'll just say I'm worthy of it. It's my birthright. No, that didn't work because I still had so much deprogramming to do. And so instead I would say, okay, my brain neurologically has to be on board here. So what is the next truth? How can I break this current rule I have? I have this rule box and it says, these are the things I need to be. And maybe, just maybe, that's not true because there is someone else. I always looked for proof. This person over here is doing it. This person over here is doing it. So maybe, just maybe, it's possible. So now I'm in the realm of some possibility vibration, right? And then I would say, okay, what's the next rule that I can write? We have to live by rules. The human mind needs those constructs. There's nothing wrong with it. But if I went all the way to, you know, unconditional love today is my birthright, if I did that 15 years ago, no way. I'd be like, that's not even true. I have no proof of that. That doesn't even make sense. I don't know how to get there. And so instead it was, well, you know what? I'm going to break a couple of these incorrect rules, or I'm going to ask myself, is this true? Does this have to be true moving forward? And what can the new truth that I can be on board with be? And I would find myself every maybe 90 days going, wow, this rule is too small now. And then I would ask myself again, okay, so what's the new rule going to be, until I got to this place where I truly, in my embodiment, know unconditional love is my birthright. But it's okay. And there's no judgment if someone's like, I need to take a couple steps towards that. That's the beauty of it. 1% progress, not perfection.
Well, and what if you don't feel it's true? Like, how do you step towards it when you can't feel it?
Yeah. I always ask myself, so I had this thing, when I first started my business, I was like, for me to be paid to do my purpose work, to help people, imposter syndrome. You know, I thought I had to be a martyr. I had all these rules, all these perceptions of what it had to look like. And so I sat there and I was like, well, I can't just say that I can help everybody in the whole world right now. I'm not there. My brain perceives it as a lie. Therefore, I'm going to sabotage it. And so I said, well, what can I get on board with? Can I make a couple of rules that feel okay? And so I said, well, as long as I am in my integrity and I'm serving with my whole heart, then I am worthy, because worthiness was a big thing for me. So I was just working with my rules, then I'm worthy to serve. And very soon I found, no, this is too small. And then I would break the rule again. So I think it's that inching place, and it's a very intuitive process for everyone, but to ask yourself, here are my current perceptions of who I have to be worthy of love, or of, you know, fill in the blank, or to get to this point in my life. The universe has a whole other plan. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's 1, 5, 10. So I have to break the rules. So don't keep looking for the wrong number. And you're just breaking a little bit to where you're still on board, but it did push you past a little bit of a ceiling. And so just ask yourself, okay, what could the next truth be? Instead of me saying, I need to be perfect and I need to be everything that I am not, things that I could literally never even be in my life to receive unconditional love. Well, maybe I can just anything. I could take a salt bath once a day. or I could look myself in the mirror and I could say the things that I like about myself, or I could write myself a love note or get myself into this beautiful community that you've created. And I can have women who remind me of my greatness. And that's just moving the needle for me. And then all of a sudden, this is what I love about this process, is you look up and you're like, how did I get here? But it's because it was just a little bit at a time. And even 1% every day, in less than a year, you're in a completely different space. So instead of that idea of, I have to go from 0 to 100 real quick, which is a self-defeating thought in and of itself, it is, how do I get 1% better or 1% closer to this perception or this belief that I really want to have? And it's just every day waking up saying, what does that look like today? What would prove that today?
So if I believed I was worthy of being loved unconditionally, if I believed I was worthy of being supported by life, who would I be? How would I show up? What would my choices be?
Totally. Like what you were saying in the previous talk, that future self, what does that look like? Can you call that forth? What is the version of you? How do they interact with their environment if they believe that they're worthy of love? And you're just pulling that in, and it's not a fake it till you make it or toxic positivity, but it's just an authentic, let me pull that version of me because it does exist somewhere in the universe. And let me pull a couple pieces into the now so that I can experience a new frequency until it becomes my dominant one. Because that's how traumas happened. That's how the belief that we weren't worthy happened, was a compilation of things that just compiled over time. But it can also reverse itself in similar fashion.
I will tell you that the thing that I think is so damaging about trauma, you know, and this kind of comes back to love. I remember in the darkest moments of my life where I had lost everything and I felt like, you know, I'd always been like a think positive kind of person. And I was depressed and I was anxious and I felt like there was nobody home in the universe, that I'd been truly abandoned by life. And it was these experiences of trauma. And I had a deep knowing like that said to me one day, you know what, Claire, this state that you're in will eat your life up. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, so I think that's, you know, what you're speaking to is so critical in these moments where we feel derailed and disconnected and lonely and isolated and unsupported. That the way to find your way out of that dark night is to take a moment just to connect with yourself, to move into receptivity. I'm paraphrasing, but like, you know, can you just share, like, you're in that moment where you're feeling hopeless and you're feeling disconnected. Yeah. What do we do in that moment instead?
So speaking of trauma, usually that's what I call a persona. Or we'll call it lenses today. So if you're in that dark space and you cannot see past it, you're like, I don't even know where the next step is. This is just all darkness, or I'm so frustrated. I have no idea how to get out of this. I think it's so incredibly powerful to remember that that is a set of lenses from a trauma that you're wearing so well that you forgot you could take them off. And so I noticed I experienced various traumas throughout my life, but I had one when I was 10 years old, and I always called it my 10-year-old unhealed persona. And the need was to be heard so that I wouldn't be hurt. And I noticed in my later years, and even with my now husband, when we were first dating, this part of me, this unhealed part, would come out and be like, you can't hear me. And I would notice that the whole world was being seen through the eyes of, I'm unheard and the world is unjust. And I believed it to be so true because I took it in and I became it. Like when someone says, I am angry, you are the vibration of it in that moment, and it feels so real. But the reality actually is, and I call this, instead of getting emotional, because emotions are such an incredible manifestation tool, so we don't want to use them incorrectly, but instead of getting emotional, get curious. Take a couple steps back, take those lenses off and say, what else could this mean? Is there another reality that is presenting itself to me? And I'll tell you right now, sitting on the other side of so much healed trauma within myself and the folks that I've worked with, it is a lens that we wear that creates a worldview, but it is just one lens. And funny enough, we have many of them, because most often we have many unhealed parts of us. But as you were saying, like, we fractal off. Parts of us go into different places to protect ourselves, to try to not relive that trauma, to shove it down. And although it is a beautiful act of misguided love, it is not the best way when we're reliving through the lenses of that trauma, because we perceive life to be something that it actually isn't, or is not the only reality available to us. And so I call it the five steps back method, but it's where you go, okay, I'm realizing I can't see past this right now, or I'm realizing I'm so triggered by a previous trauma, or I don't even know why I'm triggered because the trauma is so buried, but I know that I don't feel good. Take a couple steps back, even do it physically if that helps for more kinesthetic learners. Take a couple steps back and be like, is this the only way? Could this be something different? Am I living out a trauma that's unhealed and it's actually coming up to serve me because it's ready to be healed, because it wants to be heard? How do I meet it with love then, instead of how I keep doing it, which keeps me in the cycle and the perception of something that doesn't have to be real anymore? And that is a choice. And it was one that I chose not to make for a long time. And I chose a lot of unnecessary pain. But when you start saying, maybe there is another way, maybe I can see something different, I promise you that you can, because your consciousness will create a beautiful reality or another option, and you will have a new set of lenses on, and that trauma will be transmuted, because again, you're not just looking at it from the human story and the human lenses, where healing can be a little bit difficult or certainly slow, but the soul is like, oh, every trauma was perfectly done. It was what it was supposed to be, but what are you going to do with it? What's it going to mean moving forward? You know, you're a being of love or incredible consciousness that you've forgotten. I'm here to remind you. And when you choose, of course, you choose that perception, life opens up for you. And literally, I can say with all of the traumas I've experienced in the past, they could be another lifetime for all I know, because they don't invite themselves back into my future.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this is part of, you know, we were on with Marianne Williamson earlier today, and she's like, you know, there's just times where we just have to put down what's no longer working. Yeah. What I love about what you're sharing is sometimes we don't know how to do that, because we don't have the energy to do that, or we don't have like that, the lens of that persona and old story just feels so like our reality and what's real. And so focusing in on this frequency of love and of worthiness, you know, it starts to raise this field of energy that we actually can release it.
Yeah.
No, it's actually, I want to just underscore this, because this is like, there's a new connection here. It's just how it's very hard for us to be doing inner or transformational or spiritual work when we are not connected to this frequency of love and worthiness, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And kind of that pulling apart process, right? It desensitizes, or it's probably not the greatest word, but it allows for us to stop putting power into things where it doesn't belong. So when we pull something apart, I always say, let's say that your boss comes in and just yells at you, just lays you out for a moment. Now you might go, okay, let me do better. Let me work harder for her or him. And I'll just get to it. Someone else might explode. They might be angry in the moment. Some may shove it under the rug and get frustrated, and cortisol, neurohormones start getting released in the body. They go home and blow up on their spouse. Those are three different reactions to the same stimuli. So I always ask myself, even though it feels so real in certain moments, why is this my reaction? What am I telling myself? Because what I'm telling myself will give me all of the answers of what is left unhealed in me. But it also pulls apart the power a little bit to say, I could have had three different reactions. I chose one, but they had different ones. So this isn't so real after all. This is about me. So what can I do with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I feel like that is the pathway to be able to do it for real. Right? Like this yeah. is like, you know, in reality, like what actually happens, how we operationalize this process of self-evolution. It's like love is the fuel.
Yes. Yes. And as we master ourselves, what we probably, and this is what I've seen at least, as we master ourselves in the sense that we understand why we think the way we do, why we are the way we are, then we realize the things that we should probably set down, because we picked it up so we can set it down, right? And then as those onion layers, if you will, get peeled off, we find all that love. And it is such a beautiful space. And that natural state of being, I call it the authentic self, but that like authentic vibration, that really high vibration, everything that we could ever want is already available there.
Yeah. Wow. Powerful. Well, Mandy, your presence, I have to say, I watched one of your videos. I was sharing this where I felt like what, you know, you are transmitting and being the message that you're sharing with us. There's like a palpable field of energy, you know, from which it opens up, and it opens up possibility. It magnetizes opportunity. Can you all feel that in Mandy's field? What she's, you know,
thanks everybody
out, right? And just invite you to give that reflection, right? So this is what we're talking about being in this frequency of worthiness, of love, even though we're imperfect works in progress, even though we're striving, right? Like, so this doesn't mean like don't grow, or you're not responsible for striving and becoming an even better version of yourself. This just means that fundamentally your own sense of worthiness is off the table in all your interactions. Right. Yeah. Your sense of worth, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like that onion layer, you know, gets peeled off all the things that weren't us. Then we find our authentic self. And now we get to fully expand, just like the universe, and meet new parts of us. So I always say, if I'm not growing, I am dying. So it is so important to consistently grow, no matter if you think you've arrived or all is healed. Well, great. Get through the healing. And then the world is your oyster. You're on this beautiful island, and it gets boring on the island. You're going to want to create. You're going to want to serve the world. You're going to want to give. So the growth always, it never ends, but it becomes so, so fun.
Mm. Well, and you're doing it from a place of wholeness versus scarcity and lack, and worthiness as a place of, unworthiness in a way. Oh, your camera's blurred again. Just want to, you might want to just... shake. Ah, there you go. It's got you.
I'm like a statue, I guess. I'll move more.
I do this thing where I kind of reset mine, like there. I just go like that, and it resets on me sometimes.
Oh my gosh, sorry.
No, it's totally fine. We just want to make sure we see you. So I love this. And so when you start walking through the world, right, now you have a safe, powerful space of growth. You're disrupting stories of shame, stories of scarcity, stories of lack, stories of isolation. I found these are the biggest power blocks for women: shame, lack, and isolation. And this deeper field of love begins to create a powerful space to disrupt that, to move into openness, move into presence, move into flow, move into connection, and all the space from which power, growth, evolution, good things are possible.
Yes, so much so.
So beautiful, so powerful. So you have blessed us so much today with your luminous presence, with your deep and real wisdom that isn't just talk, that comes from the inside, and the role modeling of the circuitry in relationship to life that we, it's such an invitation to stand in. Just want to invite us all to step into this way of being that Mandy is inviting us into. What a beautiful way to begin to end our day together. So thank you so much for joining us. It's so wonderful to connect with you. I'm so inspired by the work you're doing and by your wisdom. And we've been doing a kind of a fun thing today, if you'd be willing to let us play with you a bit.
Yes, of course.
Here at the end, willing to play a little
always,
bit?
Always.
All right, so you've been extending all this beautiful energy to us. So we would love to end by inviting you just to imagine you're standing in the center of the circle, mm-hmm, with all of us surrounding you. And all of us just taking in and having received your love, having received your wisdom, having really taken that in, knowing that you have been so deeply received and you have impacted us in really positive ways. And for us to be able to now just give this energy back to you tenfold, for us to surround you with this field of energy, and just to invite you to connect in your own heart what it is that you are creating or is in your heart to bring forward in your life or in the world next, what you're holding. And for all of us to be beaming our energy to power up your vision or the next level of what it is that you're called to, that we are sending you that energy right back to bless, to amplify, to uplift you in your next level. So Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, so much. Thank you. Thank you.
To have you with us. So much love. I look forward to being connected again soon. So thank you, Mandy.
Bye, everyone.